Hello and welcome to FX Talk, an eBury podcast all about the foreign exchange market, where we break down some of the main news headlines in financial markets and give our take on what these developments might mean for the world of FX. My name is Matthew Ryan, Head of Market Strategy here at eBury, and I'm joined as always on the podcast by two of my colleagues, our Chief Risk Officer, Enrique Diaz-Alvarez, and Senior Market Analyst, Roman Zuruk. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of FX Talk. And we're recording this during a little bit of a lull period in the foreign exchange market. Most of the major currencies are trading within relatively narrow ranges. Why is that the case? Well, it's partly due to both summer and national holidays in some areas, notably the 4th of July, Independence Day in the US. Summer in general tends to be a slightly quieter period for currencies, but markets have not been completely devoid of action. We did get some hawkish comments from central bank heads at the Sintra conference in Portugal last week. FOMC chair Jerome Powell reiterated a couple more hikes in the US could be on the way in 2023 and that no rate cuts were on the way anytime soon. While ECB President Lagarde all but confirmed that the ECB will raise rates once again at the July meeting. Elsewhere, the Australian dollar rebounded despite the Reserve Bank of Australia's somewhat unexpectedly holding interest rates steady at its July meeting. Meanwhile, the Japanese yen has approached fresh lows despite speculation that authorities in Japan may soon intervene in the FX market. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the episode. But the main focus of this week's podcast is at least emerging markets. And we've seen a couple of noteworthy themes in markets at the moment. Firstly, will we start seeing a divergence in policy stances between the major and emerging market central banks, with the former continuing to raise interest rates while the latter begins to cut? And secondly, what does soft China data mean for developing economies and their currencies? We're going to focus on the former first of all. Now, as I mentioned, for the most part, communications from the major central banks have been quite hawkish of late, suggesting that we could see more rate hikes from the Fed in 2023, possibly two or three more from the ECB, with the Bank of England likely to be even more aggressive. Whereas emerging market central banks seem to be nearing the end, or nearing the timing, I should say, for interest rate cuts, as rates of inflation in the developing countries appear to be coming down at a faster rate than the majors. But are we likely to start seeing a divergence in interest rates anytime soon? What do you both think? And what does this possible policy divergence mean for emerging market currencies?
I think we're going to see a very unusual set of developments in which, first of all, looking backwards, this is the first cycle I remember in which inflation at most of the key emerging markets did not overshoot significantly that of developed markets. There's been no significant gap between the inflation we saw in places like the Eurozone, United States, etc. on the one hand, and the inflation we saw in certain emerging markets like Mexico or Brazil, at least if we focus on core inflation. The difference was much smaller than we're used to seeing. And indeed, in some cases, it was actually smaller inflation in these emerging markets. On the other hand, there has been a divergence in interest rate policy. These markets generally, at least outside of Asia, emerging market central banks increased rates rather dramatically. This resulted both in a slowdown in activity, but primarily an inflation peak that seems to be, for the first time, that I recall, leading rather than lagging the inflation peak in developed markets. And this is very, very good news, I think, for emerging market currencies and emerging market financial assets in general, because it means that we may be seeing easing in emerging market monetary policy before we see easing in the developed world. And that should be very positive for financial flows into this economy. So I remain quite bullish, generally, with some idiosyncratic exceptions. I remain quite bullish currencies of most emerging markets.
When it comes to inflation, I think that the divergence is quite clear right now. In a number of countries in emerging markets, the situation has been brought under control. One example here is Brazil, or generally Latin America. We don't see significant inflationary pressures in Asia. Looking at China, there is practically no inflationary pressures at all. And looking at the Eastern Europe, what we have seen is a rapid decline in inflation rates recently, which is set to continue, especially in the coming months. So I think that this provides some sort of optimism. This helps to real rates to increase, and this provides some support to currencies. And although the central banks are nearing rate cuts or have already some of them started cutting rates, an example here could be Hungary, which is withdrawing exceptional measures that were introduced last year to support the weakening forint. I think that the emerging markets, many of them will soon move in that direction. And I wouldn't, and I would expect probably one or a few to start the cutting cycles even this month. And so they definitely are ahead when it comes to fighting inflation, at least a number of them, relative to main economies. And I think that this will provide room to cut interest rates in those areas, particularly in Latin America. But I think also we'll be looking at rate cuts in most CE countries in the coming months. So, and but it will take probably noticeably longer to see cuts in main economies. At the same time, I haven't seen a significant weakness related to the current divergence that we have seen between the expectations for both. So I think that the EM currencies generally remain quite resilient. I think, as I said, real rates have been on the rise. Fundamentals have generally been quite strong or improving. So I expect that the situation will remain, even if we are going to start seeing more and more EM central banks cutting rates. And at some points, the main central banks will join them. And then I would think that this would be a further supportive argument for EM currencies.
Yes, look, I mean, clearly this is going to be one of the main topics for markets in the coming months, and something that investors will very much be paying close attention to if they're not doing so already. Certainly, if anything can be taken away from the Sintra Forum of central bankers last week, it's that rates are likely to stay higher for longer in the major nations, notably in the US, while among emerging markets, as we said, cuts do appear on the way relatively soon in many instances, particularly, I think, among those countries where the central banks were both very quick and aggressive in hiking rates at the start of the cycle. Actually, as I think you guys have alluded to, this could be good news for growth among these emerging market economies at a time that when potentially we could see some of the majors entering into recessions as the central banks there keep rates stubbornly high. Actually, I think we look at emerging market currencies, most of them are holding up pretty well. I mean, clearly there are some exceptions. We've seen uncharacteristically poor performances among some of the Asian currencies, notably CNY, for instance. But there are clear pockets of strength. The LATAM currencies, CE, are performing very well, even amid these growing bets in favor of higher Fed rates. And that may partly be due to these expectations for stronger growth among these emerging market countries. We're going to move on now, but we're going to stay on the topic of emerging markets because we've had more data out of China this morning that suggests the world's second largest economy may be faltering. The latest services PMI from Caixin suggested that activity in the sector slowed in June, with the equivalent manufacturing index printing just above the level of 50.5 in June. While both are still pointing to expansion, the data is nowhere near as impressive as previously hoped. particularly following the removal of effectively all of the COVID-19 restrictions late last year. And this may indicate that policy loosening from the PBOC last year perhaps not quite having the desired effect, and that maybe more accommodation is required on both the fiscal and monetary sides. And this comes at a time when we're seeing rather soft data on trade, concerns over the property sector, and notably high levels of youth unemployment in China, which has caused a bit of a concern. Now, the Chinese yuan has reacted accordingly. Actually, it's been one of the worst performers among emerging market currencies in the past month, aside from the likes of the Turkish lira and the Russian ruble. And for a currency that tends to hold its value very well, that is quite a significant development. But over to you both. Is this ongoing weakness in Chinese demand a cause for concern for the global economy? And again, what are the ramifications for emerging market currencies in general? Do we see some downside here because of the soft China data?
Yeah, I'll have to say that, I'm surprised by the Chinese data. I expected a significantly faster bounce back from the reopening after the lifting of the COVID restrictions. The numbers are not terrible. I mean, you're still talking about the Kaixin China composite is still consistent with moderate growth in China. But they're definitely worse than we expected. I wonder if we're seeing here more of that phenomenon where in the Eurozone, it seems like the PMI indices have become less predictive of where the economy is going. Just as a reminder, they seem to be consistent with recession back in the early fall of last year, and then things weren't as dire as they turned out to be. So that's the one silver lining, I think, if I had to come up with one. But the lackluster Chinese growth is definitely a potential, the biggest potential downside that I see with the world economy in general, and specifically my positive view of emerging market currencies. I think that what we need to pay a lot of close attention to is, do we see the real data coming out of China, which lags the PMI indices by close to 2 months in some cases? Do we see that also take the same take a leg down the way the PMIs have been doing, or do we see a repeat of European experiences where there was a bit of a decoupling between the two? That we need to pay very close attention to real data coming out of China over the next 6 weeks. I definitely think we can expect more stimulus out of both fiscal and perhaps mostly monetary. That will help, but that's definitely a cause for concern, this Chinese weakness.
On a positive note, when it comes to what we are seeing in the market, is that I don't think that there has been a significant dampening effect that the news from China have had on the sentiment towards the emerging market currencies, but also towards the broader market. Yes, we have seen that the weakness in the yuan has spread to some other Asian currencies, perhaps also a little bit more outside. But looking at the currencies that I would also think might be weaker in the context of a weak Chinese demand, some Latin American currencies, I think they have been very resilient in this recent period. And I think that the weak China is right now a secondary story, with most of the attention being on the major central banks. But practically every week, the news that I'm reading on China are constantly bad, and perhaps even getting worse in some cases, which definitely makes me concerned. I would not say that it's only the PMIs. I would say that across the board, we are seeing weaker economic activity. Practically all of the data that we have point to it, both the hard data as well as the activity numbers. But as Enrique mentioned, the upcoming hard data, which I think will be released in the middle of the month, will shed some more light on the situation. But when it comes to yuan itself, I think that it's definitely weaker than it should be, looking at the country's fundamentals. And I'm positively surprised right now that it seems the Chinese authorities are getting concerned about it. The PBOC is setting a stronger yuan fixings. We have seen some other signals that suggest that they do not want to tolerate the excessive yuan weakness. Nonetheless, until we get a change in the very poor string of economic headlines, I would think that probably the weak yuan will remain where it is right now, and I wouldn't even rule out a further weakness. And we also have to take note that we are very close to the recent lows that we have seen late last year. And after we breach those lows against the US dollar, the yuan will move to the lowest level since 2007. So right now, the USD CNY exchange rate that we are seeing is, I would say, on a quite a historic level. Definitely I'm concerned about what we have seen from China, encouraged by the little effect it had on the overall sentiment. But I want to see some improvement in data, especially hard data that Enrique pointed to.
Well, look, yeah, I mean, I think China at the moment is a little bit of an enigma. I think we were expecting a pretty strong rebound in the Chinese economy this year after the removal of the COVID restrictions late last year. Clearly, we've not necessarily had that so far. I did contest on this podcast not too long ago that this recovery may be slightly more gradual than we had anticipated. But still, I think by now to see PMI data that is only barely printing above the level of 50, I think that is a bit of a worry. As you mentioned, Enrique, let's see and wait and see how predictive these indices actually are. I would say hard data, particularly on retail sales, industrial production, for instance, might be a better gauge of activity. But again, I think, Roman, you alluded to this as well. Emerging market currencies have remained resilient, even off the back of this data. Having said that, I will still be keeping tabs on some of the Asian currencies, particularly those most reliant on demand from China, so South Korean won, Thai baht, for instance. These are the ones that I would expect to suffer the most should the data out of China not take a turn for the better anytime soon. We're going to wrap up today's podcast episode now by finishing with our spotlight currency for the week, which this week is the Japanese yen. Why the yen? Well, among the G10 currencies, the Japanese yen has been the clear underperformer of late. The currency has extended its sell-off to around 9% in the past 3 months, with the USD-JPY exchange rate moving above or to around the 145 level, which is just shy of its highest level since November, as markets bet on a divergence in policy stances between the Federal Reserve in the US and the Bank of Japan, which has been reluctant to signal that higher interest rates are on the way. We have had growing speculation that we could see intervention in the FX market from authorities in Japan, just as they did late last year. And indeed, officials have indicated in recent days that they are monitoring developments very closely. This has not triggered a snapback in the yen just yet, but it has at least appeared to ease the sell-off and prevented a more sustained move. And as I said, the yen is trading around about the 144, 145 levels on the dollar at the time of this recording. So is direct FX intervention on the way? And does this provide a buy opportunity for the yen? What do you both think?
I'm going to start off by saying that I am having trouble getting the yen right lately. I've been very surprised by the Bank of Japan stance. I do not understand why they're the only central bank in the world, pretty much, to cling on to the ultra easing policies of the pandemic and before. In core inflation in Japan is above 4%. It has experienced pretty much the same evolution it has everywhere else. So I'm a little baffled by this. I mean, clearly, when you look at the Japanese yen in trade-weighted terms, it's the cheapest it's been pretty much since the 90s, probably the, yeah, since the 80s, probably. So it is a very cheap currency. It's being kept artificially low by the, to me, almost incomprehensible monetary policy of the Bank of Japan, which I think that will become increasingly unsustainable as it becomes clear that this inflation at 4-5% is the new normal in Japan. When that happens, we should see a pretty incredible snapback on the yen right away, and a trend up, because like I said, it's of all the G10 currencies, is by far the cheapest. When that will happen, I thought it would have happened already. I mean, every meeting, every Bank of Japan meeting from now on is an opportunity for the bank to come to its senses. In terms of intervention, I think that given the failure of previous interventions by the Bank of Japan, it's still a ways off. I think they probably wait until at least 150. And I don't think it will have a sustained effect. The only thing that can sustainably turn around the Japanese yen is the prospect for higher rates in Japan.
So for me, the Japanese yen has also been quite a difficult currency to forecast. But right now, I think it largely develops in line with the changing expectations towards monetary policy. Recently, we have seen a hawkish shift from major central banks. In Japan, we haven't witnessed it, or perhaps even the opposite, with a very muddled rhetoric of the authorities, or definitely not a lot of hawkish notes there. So it's natural that the yen is weakening. It remains the global most attractive funding currency for the carry trade. And in that context, the weakness right now is understandable. At the same time, I wouldn't think that shorting the yen would be a wise move, considering that right now we are about at the vicinity of the levels that the authorities stepped in last year. And I think that we may as well see an intervention either this week or in the coming weeks, depending on the developments in the currency. But if we are going to see more weakness, I wouldn't be at all surprised to see the activity of the authorities. And when it comes to longer term prospects, I think that we should be looking at the stronger yen based on what you alluded to, Enrique, the valuation. The yen, similarly as the yuan, is right now very, very weak. And I think that this weakness has an expiration date. I'm waiting for the Bank of Japan to turn a little bit more hawkish. Perhaps a chance to do it would be this month, when I think the new economic projections will be released, which could give some backing to maybe a more hawkish stance. And also, I would think that after the global central banks, the main central banks, stop with signaling more rate hikes should be expected, then this is likely to provide some break for the yen. So medium longer term, I would be bullish on the yen. In near term, I think I would probably stay away from the currency.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think I have to agree with you, Roman, on the possibility of intervention. I think recent communications mean that it's pretty clear that authorities are at least considering intervention in the FX market. For me, I mean, I've been saying for a number of weeks now that I think 150 in the USD JPY exchange rate is a line in the sand, and officials will do what is necessary to defend this level and prevent a further sell-off in the yen, just as they did late last year. Will this provide long-term support for the yen? Very unlikely, I would say. As you guys have mentioned, I think we would need to see that hawkish pivot from the Bank of Japan for that to be the case. I continue to hold on to the view that we will see a first rate hike by the end of the year. But again, I've been really surprised that this is yet to materialize given current macroeconomic conditions. But day by day, the possibility of higher rates becomes less and less. And I think that will, at the very least, delay a yen appreciation, albeit I do think that one is on the way. And I think we will get one once the Bank of Japan starts to signal that higher rates are in the offing. So for now, I mean, I think I would still remain long on the yen. Certainly over the longer term, I think it still presents a pretty good buy opportunity. And that's it from us. If you're keen to hear more about our thoughts on the FX market, visit eBreed's website or follow us on social media. And don't forget to rate and review the podcast on your favourite podcast app. And let us know if there are any topics you'd like to hear more on during upcoming episodes. Keep an eye out for our next episode in a fortnight's time. Thank you all very much for listening.